Pat's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Dick Brubaker in about 30 minutes, so stick around for that. Back we abruptly cut off there by the top of the hour break, but butter knife. Gas doesn't cause everything to go up. Diesel does. I had to pay $5.15 a gallon. I'm not talking about these guys who buy the $100,000 F-250 so they can pull a golf cart. Yeah, and but we kind of use the gas price metric. It's a little more relatable. Most Americans, or maybe even most people in this audience, don't buy diesel. And I don't buy diesel, so it's not relatable at all to me. But I get it. I mean, the point is on the crawl right now on CNN. It's just a constant show of the diesel price. Is at $5.32 a gallon national average. Start of the war is $3.76 a gallon. I mean, that's, you know, we're looking at national average, and that's not necessarily applicable to this locality. But we're talking about politics, we're talking about national politics, we're talking about Congress, and we're talking about that matters. It's baked in here. We know how these congressional seats are probably going to go in November. We know how the November election will affect Alabama. But, like, what happens in this election cycle, what happens in these other states matters to Alabama. So, anyway, 251-343-0106. I got to get through these texts because I'm sure that it always drives an engagement when Parker Griffith is on the program. Mike, I think the COVID tyrants are beyond incompetent. They knew studies showed that there was an 80% miscarriage rate within the first trimester. It's nearly as effective as an abortion bill. Anyone who pushed the trash has unborn children's blood on their hands is pure evil. Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of that data, though. And I'm not saying that there isn't a direct impact on birth rates. But I think it's it was concealed is probably more the issue here. Let's get out. Here's the problem. The media can run interference for Fauci, for the medical establishment, all they want. This is going to find its way out into the news. And people, when you want to have a child, you really, really want to have a child, they're going to steer clear of some of these vaccines. It's difficult to understand. And Mike, you know, your distrust, you know, next time there's a pandemic and you really need to get on board with the program here, people are going to shrug it off. I think that's a problem. Martin says he can't stand that guy. I need texture TDS. Any? Switching to 96.1 for some AC/DC. It's much less disturbing. Referring to Parker. Who's that old Democrat you have on? He sounds like he needs his TDS medication. Well, he's a Democrat. Jason, only a true Democrat would find Trump holding people accountable and firing them foolish, and who better to speak about Deadwood than the dinosaur himself? Scrooverine, only a true Democrat would find Trump holding people accountable and firing. Let's see. Scrooverine, if Democrats win, it won't be because of Iran. The media left-wingers have already manipulated people over immigration. Why? I don't know about that, Scrooverine, because then how did Trump win in 2024? No, I think it's all gas prices. People don't trust the media. They'll trust their sense of things at the pocketbook and the gas pump. That's very tangible. Ella, just voted in Magnolia Springs. I was voter 102. I was surprised that many folks voted already. That seems like a decent turnout, Ella. One more here from Joe. What's disturbing is Joe Biden gave the worm a pardon from 2014 to now. What the hell did they know he was up to in 2014? He would have to be pardoned for anything leading up to COVID. So he's got some skeletons in his closet. There you could bake on it. He's a corrupt scientist, and I think they know it. You're probably right. Or he did some things that maybe at the time he never in a million years would have thought of led to a global pandemic. And the cover-up in some ways was worse than the crime. And so with Fauci, was he, you know, had we known what we know now, he would not have led the COVID charge. He just kind of been there forever. He was the experienced hand. And they got behind him, Joel. And I just, like I said, the problem here in 2026, and I know we should and we will go back and examine everything that happened with the COVID pandemic response. But the problem here is as such that the trust in these institutions is deteriorated. It's gone. No one feels really great about the medical establishment for two reasons. A, just all of you Republicans who are kind of fed up from the COVID response. But additionally, I'd say that there's also the problem is there's just a lot of Democrats now who aren't going to trust anything the Trump administration does. So we're at like a double whammy for an all-time low. And, you know, we pay a lot in taxes in this country. We expect to get a return on investment. But here, this federal government that you're paying for, it's not getting the job done. At least the perception is. Maybe there's a way to make that argument that they are. But I think right now, it's just there's just not. There's got to be a rehabilitation. Scrovarine, yes, Trump won in 2024, but the enforcement since they got hyped up and drove the ding-dongs to attack, impede, riot, protests, have become mainstream with celebrities. I tell you, though, Scrovarine, we've made it almost through an entire summer without, like, these widespread riots. Some isolated incident, like the George Floyd incident or a Ferguson or something. And then they're embellished by the Democrat establishment, and I don't think that they are like, hey, let's get these people ginned up so much that they'll go burn down a Target. But at least let's get them ginned up enough to where they will go out and vote. And that they haven't done that. That hasn't happened this cycle. If you know what I'm talking about, I mean, there's a pattern here. There's always some like big controversy that causes mass calamity in the streets of America and protest. And you got Anderson Cooper and Ali Velshi, and they're on the scene. Mostly peaceful protests as fire erupts in the background. That hasn't happened yet. And it usually happens in that summer before an election. Bruce writes, that Griffin guy, and I think 100% differently, he's a fool, the reason I'm a conservative Republican. Well, we have him on about every 2-3 weeks. He's the only, one of the few Democrats who come on this program. But he is the Democrat response. And the point is not to give you confirmation bias. I mean, you know where I am on a lot of this stuff. But in general, just what are they thinking? And I was more interested in his thoughts, and we got him on the changes in the Democratic Party leadership. Let me tell you something. if there's an internal civil war among the Alabama Democratic Party, I mean, it's just going to benefit Republicans. But we as Republicans aren't really plugged into that. So I think it's just kind of interesting. It's important to talk about, because in this cycle, and you know, typically the Democratic Party in Alabama is irrelevant. But in this election cycle, there's a few places where Democrats could win some seats. And if they start getting it together, raising money, Alabama will continue to be a Republican state, but they go in a state Senate seat, a House seat or two, and disrupt the supermajority. It's a real thing. Let's continue on here as the text kind of flow in. I'm not a fan of Fauci, never got vaccinated, but he did get a pardon. So we put him on trial. Can't we put all the J6 insurrectionists on trial as well? If he is guilty of contempt of Congress, is it Pam Bondi? Well, I think it's the way they're going to try to pursue Fauci, and this is what they did with Trump, is they're going to go state by state. They're going to look at state charges. So this is why Trump was prosecuted in Georgia, New York State. Now, the J6, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but wouldn't they be tried by D.C. courts? Aren't D.C. courts a federal jurisdiction? So I don't know. And contempt of Congress, it's up to the DOJ to pursue those charges. The last couple of Republican contempt citations have been ignored by the Biden administration, but the Republicans, they pursued. They went after Steve Bannon, remember? He had to go serve jail time. Mike writes, I would love to know if companies who force vaccines on pregnant women who subsequently had their unborn children killed could be held liable. Personally, know several women who had miscarriages shortly after the vaccine. I would think so. I mean, we have a very litigious society, and we have a lot of lawyers who know the system. And class action lawsuits, especially if you lost a baby, I think this is a totally plausible thing, Mike. It'll be years, but it could get a hearing. We could certainly do a lot worse than Mr. Parker, writes an unnamed texter. I like when you have him on. Scrovereen. Yes, plus the left keeps pushing the Epstein-Trump thing. Does that really work? Is that getting traction? I don't know. Because my perception is, like, whatever you think of Epstein, you've already made up your mind. Then one more text here, number 80 for Marlo for the River Fire Department. So 80 seems like a high number for that precinct, for that box. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5. Carry on, sweet Southern comfort, carry on. Back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Nick Brubaker in the next segment. This I saw during the break. This is from a texter. Conservative talk radio hosts like you should be sent to a week of training on the View television show on how to stay on script. You're making my head hurt with the bouncing all over the place and The Democrat talking heads stick to the script. That's why they are up in the polls with all of the Democrat socialist candidates are performing above expectations. You should be proud. My job is not to stick to the script. Okay? That's not what we do here. You want that? There's 100 other places you could get RNC talking points force-fed to you. Just not going to do that. Man, they send out talking points. That is true. Democrats, I think, as a whole, view the greater good as above the small minor things, and they gloss over the specifics. But no, this is the script is not the way this works. I'm sorry. I don't get a script. I don't use a script. I kind of evaluate the news and tell you what I think of it. What are they going to do? That's just not how this works. I'm conservative, but I'm not going to be a team player, quote unquote. That's just not my job. It's up to you to determine what you think or think about things. And I know about the script. I mean, I've been in this game a long time. A lot of the script writers are just kind of giving up on the Jeff Poor Show, 1819 News, Breitbart, all the places I work. But that's not how this works. You don't need me to tell you how to think. You could disagree with me. But we do it because it's interesting. It's interesting to me and hopefully interesting to you. So I'm sorry I let you down, but if that's what you're looking for, you're probably not going to get it here. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program. Today's election day. Those of you who live in the 1st Congressional District, in addition, the 2nd, 6th, and 7th, you get to go vote today if you so choose. The 7th is interesting. There's a couple of candidates on there. I don't know much about them. Amy Aiken and David Perry. I don't think Terry Sewell's in jeopardy. What I do think is this is setting up for the future congressional 7th district in Alabama when they finally do get around to redrawing it. Raise the name ID, become more of a known, get some campaign signs, build an apparatus, build your team. That happens in politics. In the first, today you have the opportunity, I guess Lucas Berger, I think he dropped out, but he and I are both from Pelham, Alabama, and my older sister, or my little sister, I should say, her friend, she had a friend, and that's her friend's little brother. I don't know him at all, but there is a connection there. Jerry Carl on the ballot, John Mills, and Austin Sidwell in the first. Those are your choices. And we've given Austin and Jerry a lot of time to come on. And, you know, John Mills, I kind of know. 2nd Congressional District is very interesting to me. A lot more noise, a lot more rancor. Rhett Marcus appears to be the front runner, but a low turnout event, who knows? Hampton Harris, Dave Matthews, and Joshua McKee, who I thought had a really strong showing, but I we're not there. We're not in the second. I'm eager to see how he does this evening. Those of you in the sixth, very few listeners, but we got a few. Gary Palmer, the incumbent, and Case Dixon. And then we already talked about the seventh. So today is election day. It's special election day. Today, let me tell you something, though. There will be no runoff. Whoever gets a plurality will be the Republican nominee on the November ballot. So this is it. And we'll know who our congressional candidates are as a whole in this state later on this evening. Text line, once again, 251-343-0106. Dick Brubaker coming up. Stay tuned. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, special election day here in Alabama, and in four of our seven congressional districts. If you're out in 1, 2, 6, and 7, you have the opportunity to vote today. Turned out a little light, but that was to be expected. Joining us now on the line, one of the favorites of the Jeff Porter Show, regular on the show. We always appreciate his time. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker is with us. Senator, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great. It is election day, and it's a beautiful day in Montgomery. So I'm watching, I'm at a polling place here watching the voters trickle in. And, you know, frankly, I think the turnout is a little bit heavier than I expected.
Yeah, some of these precincts, you know, we get kind of spot reports, and some of them are just abysmal, but a lot of them appear to be, maybe a little bit higher. I don't think we're going to get 20% or anything like that, but,
No, I don't think I think if you get 10, you'll be lucky.
Right. I think we could hit double digits. 5% was the expectation, and, maybe north of that seems to be the early indicator.
Well, I am looking at somebody sent me a copy of a email the probate judge in Barber County sent out, and I'm not kidding you, it is assuring Democrats. I mean, this is from a probate judge assuring Democrats it's all right for them to cross over and go vote in this Republican primary.
That seems a little fast and loose.
yeah, not really her job, but I guess the Republicans need to, if you don't want the Democrats to decide who your candidates are, you better get out and vote. It's been an interesting race, though. I mean, everybody sort of thought Rhett would cruise in, but Hampton Harris is giving him a run for his money. He's definitely put Rhett on the defensive about the gas tax and the PSC vote, some of these other bad votes that he's made, and I'm not sure what's going to happen, especially with this low turnout. It's hard to handicap this race.
Yeah, well, I thought, he's got the Trump endorsement, but it's not a sure thing to me. It just seems like, that he's still the favorite, but I wouldn't take it for granted.
Hampton sent out the most effective mailer I've seen in a long time. The one that had that big 67% on it. Rhett voted for a gas tax that has raised your state gas tax 67% since he voted for it. And it's going up again next year. And people don't like that.
No, and a low turnout event. I mean, I don't think the gas tax issue really worked for, in 22. I mean, in 24, it was 22.
No, but it's working now.
But it could work in an environment like this where the people who vote are, I would assume, to be way more engaged than what they had in the 22 cycle.
The people that turn out for an election like this are people that are paying attention to politics. And when you put the gas tax on top of taking the elected PSC away from the voters and taking Veterans Affairs away from veterans and giving it to a political appointee, Rhett's got a voting record that, that is hard to defend, especially like in a town hall meeting. It's easy to defend in a corporate boardroom, but harder in front of a bunch of Alabamian, working families. And so, what I think everybody thought was going to be sort of a coronation has turned into a horse race. And we'll see. I mean, I don't have any idea what's going to happen, but it's a lot more interesting than I thought it'd be.
Yeah, I agree. And you and I were talking off air. A general election kind of sticks out in my mind. There's a lot on the ballot that's going to help whoever the Republican nominee, but let's say it is Rhett Marcus. He is a wiregrass guy. I think he's a weak candidate. I mean,
he's a very weak candidate. I mean,
Shamari Figures is an incumbent. He's got the D next to his name working against him, but man, he's going to raise a bunch of money. And
I'm telling you, for people in the know, Shamari's done a good job. I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to say that on the air, but one of the difficulties a Republican, especially a weak Republican, is going to have is that the sort of state interests that deal with Washington a lot, they're not going to feel any burning desire to get rid of Shamari.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you go to like the Mobile Chamber of Commerce down there where you are, they like Shamari.
Well, he's going to be able to raise money as an incumbent. And, it's been a while, but it's been a lot more recent than everywhere else in Alabama where the Democrat won that district. When Bobby Bright beat Jay Love, this was 06. But there's a roadmap there.
And you've got let's face it. One thing that Hampton Harris has done in his campaign is he has done a lot of the opposition research and saved the figures campaign a lot of trouble if he's the nominee. I mean, this latest thing that came out about Rhett Marcus's tax liens, that is campaign gold. Now, Hampton doesn't really have the resources to put all that out in such a way that, it's going to be able to swing a bunch of votes, but Shamari will have the money.
Well, just for the sake of this audience, and I don't know how many voters in the second district listen to the Mobile radio airways, but
everybody,
what is the Rhett Marcus tax? You sent it to me. I kind of got it, but you seem to have a better grasp of it.
Well, just because I'm in business, there is over a period of a decade, he's got 11 federal and state tax liens against his business. And usually what that means is he was taking payroll taxes out of his employees' paychecks and not sending the money into the government. And so when you do that, the government puts a lien and a tax lien against your business.
So it's doing withholdings, and not sending it to the feds.
Right. And so that's not a great thing, especially from a candidate who has voted to raise everybody else's taxes. You would think he'd pay his.
Oh, yeah. It kind of surfaced here in the last few days, and we have the documentation. It's just deciphering it has been the issue here.
Well, and for Hampton, who is a grassroots campaign, he doesn't really have the wherewithal, to run the TV ads and to do the negative campaigning, which I don't like negative campaigning, as you know. When I ran, I think the reason I got beat is I refused to engage in it. And nice guys really do finish last. But Shamari will have the resources to explain that to people. And I think it's the sort of thing, along with raising taxes, that could hurt a guy like Rhett Marcus in a general election. And I don't want to see a Democrat win CD2, but, one of the problems with a winner-take-all, low-turnout primary is a lot of the name ID and media talk, a lot of those gross rating points that you usually get for free in a normal election cycle, the Republican isn't getting, because the media hadn't paid a whole lot of attention to any of these special elections. And so Shamari's going to have a head start on whoever the Republican nominee is. And it's just going to make it harder because, let's face it, even with going back to the old district lines, the margins aren't big enough. A weak Republican candidate will get beat in that district by a strong Democrat.
Well, and say this about this, because when the legislature drew that map in 2023, was drawn under the notion that that was a so-called opportunity district.
Right.
And the federal court rejected it, but it's not the same AL2 that Barry Moore had won in, that Martha Roby and Terry Everett had won in. It is a different, there are, it's a little more blue than what maybe we had expected.
Yeah, it's like R plus two.
Yeah. So it's,
and the old district was like R plus six or seven.
Yeah,
two maps ago.
And you had to learn this you know, I guess it was Caroline Dobson who really learned a lesson. That data was not accurate.
Not at all. And what they told Caroline and me both when we qualified for that office, that it was going to be D+2. And the new district, it was D+10.
Right.
And, you know, which is not a competitive district.
And this
anything
is with,
above about 5 is not competitive.
And this is with Trump at the top of the ballot.
Right. And the Republican in the old CD2 didn't have a chance because it just wasn't competitive. Now, in this race, I think it actually is going to be competitive, but we'll know after the general what the numbers really are. And but here's the other thing. Republican voter performance in CD2 has been going down for the last few cycles. And I don't know why. But if Republicans do not get out and vote in the general, it won't matter who the Republican nominee is because they're going to get beat because the Democrats have more energy right now than they've had in a while. And I think their voter performance is going to be better than it was 2 years ago. And we've got to improve Republican turnout. Are we not going to hold on to this district? That's just...
Well, I think that just to shore up the doubters like you and I mean, Rhett's got to have a good night tonight. He can't just eke this out.
No, and not only that, he needs to... Alabamians don't mind if you cast a vote they disagree with. They do object to you running from it. In other words, he needs to run on his record and say, you know, yeah, I voted this way. Here's why I'm proud of my record, and I'm for Alabama families, and here's why these are good votes. Instead of, well, you know, running campaign and say, oh, I'm a tax cutter. Well, no, you're not really. Well, and that's what irritates people.
The other thing is, you know, I watched him a little bit when he was running in the first. He's just not great on the stump. He's nice, like in a one. I mean, like he's a guy I could talk to on an individual one-on-one basis, but there is this deer in headlights quality about him that I don't know if anybody else really picks up on it, but it certainly just sticks out to me when he's talking to a big group of people. He's like the guy in the outfield who's just like terrified that the ball's going to get hit his way, and you pick up on that, and that's something they got to work on.
Well, that and what Alabama, I mean, he's going to Washington. He has been in the mold of one of these corporate-oriented Republicans in the legislature. And that's okay, I guess. But what people want in a congressman is somebody who's going to be looking after Alabama families. You know, moms and dads that are both having to work to house, educate, and feed their children. And they want people up there who are looking at legislation, not is it going to help some giant multinational corporation, but is it going to make it easier for them to get along in this economy? And, you know, the message is, you know, I think the message he ought to be putting out, if he is the nominee, is that I'm the guy who's on the side of Alabama working families, not a guy who's just going up there to carry water for the Southern Company or for Blue Cross or.
But it's going to be, and there's like a theme, Trump approved, and it's going to show him, and it's going to show Katie Britt. It's going to show everybody, you know, that's endorsed him, and that's going to satisfy. I don't think that's going to get the job done necessarily.
No, maybe. I don't think so. Not in CD2. The margins are too close, and he's going to have to find a way to motivate turnout. And saying that he's endorsed by Senator Brett or President Trump, I think that'll turn out the core, the MAGA core that always votes. But he's got to get people that identify as independents, who in Alabama always vote Republican. He's got to get those people to the polls, and independents are going to be less motivated by a Brit or Trump endorsement than MAGA people. And he's going to have to get those independents to the polls to vote for him if he's going to win this race. And the same goes for Hampton Harris. I mean, I hope Hampton's the nominee. I think he's got less baggage, and I think he's more electable. But he's going to have the same issue. He's going to he's going to have to find a way to raise Republican voter enthusiasm. And let's face it, right now, Republican voter enthusiasm is not real high.
No, and the thing that's going to help them is a bunch of other things on the ballot. But as we've learned, I mean,
well, like,
two can be very localized.
What things are going to drive turnout that's on the ballot in the general? I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, there's a gubernatorial election, there's a Senate election. And that's going to help. That's going to help, Rhett. But
but the problem is, in this gubernatorial election, I think one of Tuberville's issues is going to be driving turnout. People are assuming that Tommy's got this thing sewn up. And if Republican turnout is relatively low and Democrat turnout is relatively high, this could be a lot closer gubernatorial race than people think. Republicans have got to go to the polls.
Yeah, there's got to be a motivation there to get them out. And like I said, there's some lazy consulting out there, and they're just going to lean on Trump. And I don't think that's going to get everything they want.
You know, it might. Coach Tuberville is very popular in his own right, and it might bring him home, but it's not going to bring home the Republican nominee in CD2.
Right. Hey, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to tell you, we're about out of time, but to finish your thought there.
Well, it's, you know, for whatever reason, maybe because people feel so safe with Trump and the Trump endorsement has been so overwhelming, Republicans don't think their vote matters as much maybe as it used to. And our turnout has shown it over the last couple of cycles. And that we've got to turn that around, or we're looking at all kind of things happening that we don't want to happen. And so if you're an independent who identifies as a conservative, go to the polls. Stop sitting on the sideline thinking Trump is going to carry the day every time, because, you know, in these new districts, it's not necessarily so.
Senator,
I love Trump, but that's just the fact.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but I always appreciate you hopping on, and thanks for coming on the program today.
Sure. Everybody go vote.
All right. Dick Brubaker, former state senator, regular on this program. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky. Feel that lonesome chill.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. We'll have some coming up in the next hour, so please stick around for that. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Tim, Jeff, how in the world do you think they're going to beat the church pew salesman when there's four people on the ballot? He did so well in the May 19th primary. I think that is a reliable indicator. And there were more people on the ballot then. To me, that's difficult to overcome. I tell people this, they ask me about Jerry Carr all the time. It's like, well, we love Barry Moore, but there's a certain desire to have someone from the hometown. And that was Rhett Marcus's problem, that he was from Enterprise. Barry Moore from Enterprise. You want somebody not from the Wiregrass, but you wanted somebody who was, you know, a Mobilian. And I think that was, you know, all the endorsements and those things had a lot to do with that. Southern Jedi, my polling place, said only a dozen people have been in as of 5 minutes ago. What polling place are you at, Southern Jedi? Mike. Stick to the script, guys, are always inferior to a little sports ball guys. I think UF has a good shot at 8 wins. What do you think Auburn will do? I'm guessing 7. Yeah, and I kind of, when I unplugged, for 2 weeks. I listen to a lot of sports talk radio. So it's so obvious when the script is out and this is what we're reading from. We'll talk about that more on the other side. Got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mona tried to tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like